Yesterday we dwelled with the idea that spirit being omnipresent and without opposite, we had to learn to discipline ourselves to seek out the spiritual content of our environment. That principle is immutable. No matter what you do, you cannot change it. You must conform to it. To you, the perfection and the omnipresence of spirit must become permanent consciousness. Spirit will not permit your translation from this world to the kingdom until you reach that level of consciousness. Today's principle must acknowledge the first principle. And before we elaborate upon it, I'd like you to look at the Lazarus experience. You see a man, and it is important to understand that Lazarus is a symbol of the human race. That the body of Lazarus in a tomb is a symbol of the body of man, which is a tomb. That Christ outside the tomb is a symbol of the Christ mind of Lazarus. And so two forms are giving you one understanding. And the Christ mind outside the tomb of body is going to release the individual living inside that tomb. You must apply it to yourself. Lazarus stepping out of the tomb is a symbol of the human race being released by the Christ mind from its concept of living inside a physical form. And Lazarus then supping at the table of Christ after being released from the tomb of body is now in an incorporeal body of spirit. And that is a symbol of the translation or transition of the human race. The world has never been told the meaning of the Lazarus experience. In a sense, that's like saving the good wine to last. Because the meaning is that Lazarus did not have a physical body. He only thought he had. His emergence into the body of spirit is the revelation that he never had a corporeal body. You will not change from a corporeal body to an incorporeal body from a mortal body to an immortal body, from a physical body to a spiritual body, any more than Lazarus did. But in your Lazarus experience, you'll discover, as he discovered, that he was not living inside a physical body. That was his human concept. That was the teaching, that man lives not in a physical body. He has the belief that he is in one. The incorporeal nature of your life is the theme today. It follows from the fact that spirit being all, spirit being everywhere, spirit being without opposite, corporeality must be a myth. And whenever you are unaware of your identity outside physical form, whenever you are unaware of your incorporeal spiritual body, you are trying to live in the kingdom of God in a physical body, and it won't work. Until you reach the awareness that you are not in a physical body, you will not put forth the effort to realize the nature of your incorporeal body. And you will continue living in a concept called physicality, which binds you to death. There is no eternal life in a physical form. Transition to eternal life requires the understanding that there is no physical form and that your true body is the body of spirit. And then you must go another step. You already have that body. When an individual is unaware of his spiritual body, spirit classifies that individual as dead. Spirit classifies the human race as the living dead. And so the Master says, let the dead bury the dead. But you step out of the concept of living in a body which you know is a dying body. And don't be afraid of the word. Step into the living body. Step into the eternal body. Step into your permanent body, which now exists in the kingdom of God. And that is the purpose of the complete Lazarus experience in the Bible. It is a preview of you awakening to the truth that you have now a body of spirit that is eternally alive. That this body of spirit, which is eternally alive, exists outside the periphery of your sense awareness. And only as you break through the hypnotism of the senses will you become more aware of your eternal body of spirit which now exists. You are following one principle that spirit is omnipresent, and this leads to the fact that your spiritual body is therefore omnipresent too. So now you are aware that you have a spiritual body which is omnipresent. And before you fall into the mistaken belief that you have one spiritual body and another individual has another spiritual body, be prepared for the spellbinding truth that your spiritual body is the body of God, that it is infinite, that to be perfect as your Father, you must ultimately come to the understanding that your spiritual body is the perfect body of God, without separation. When you can accept this principle, even without the realization of it, you are moving toward transition. When you realize that the image and likeness of God, the divine image, is the perfect body of God, and that you are that divine image. Now, then you must look for that self that you are. And again, you'll find that the magic button is always your Christ mind. Your human mind cannot attain this realization. So the change in consciousness that occurs when you move out of sense belief, out of the human brain, out of the human mind, out of human thinking, into accepting what Christ says is true and not what you have learned from personal experience to be true. This is the nature of faith. The acceptance of the Word of God, which transcends your human reasoning capacity. And it is on this faith that you accept your infinite body of spirit. And you will then discover that a great deal of the Bible is turned over to giving you the assurance that even though the experience has not yet come, it has come to others who want you to know. That the invisible body of God is their body, they have learned to live in it, and they are benefiting by that knowledge. When Shakespeare said, "Oh, that this tutu solid flesh would melt," his character was searching for the body he knew existed, the incorporeal body of spirit. when the Bible tells you that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, it is telling you that your corporeal sense of body will isolate you into mortality. And that only as you transcend the fleshly concept of body can you inherit the kingdom of God. And these other affirmations and assurances are all to tell you that there is a body of spirit which you must learn to live in consciously. Let's see how we're going to go about that. You're not working on observation. You may have had experiences that have lifted you out of physical body sense. And if you have, then you've been moving toward the realization of incorporeality. Let's dwell for a moment on the incorporeal nature of your body and the incorporeal nature of your life. And let's see that up to a certain point in our humanhood, we have been living in an imitation body. An atomic body, a body of cells, a body of physical organs, a body of molecules, a body of flesh. Which has no destination. Which is temporary. Which has no divine power, which does not contain divine life. And this imitation body, which we had accepted once, has imitation illnesses. Everything about it must be imitation, even the illnesses. What is not divine is an imitation. All corporeality is an imitation of your incorporeal body. All life within the corporeal body is an imitation of your incorporeal life. Your incorporeal life is present in spirit, as spirit, and is eternal. It does not have to be manufactured. It exists. Birth incorporeally was accomplished long before the world began. You were an incorporeal child of God. You are an incorporeal child of God because you have been from the beginning. Corporeal birth was an imitation, as corporeal death will be. You are coming to grips with another you in another universe, and yet a you that is here and a universe that is here. And slowly it will dawn upon you that there is only one being in this universe. Not encased in a corporeal form. More and more you will be drawn to the knowledge that this one being, which is called God, which is called Christ, is your spirit. the miracle of spiritual life will be when the imitation sense of life falls away, and when it falls away, there you will be. When it fell away from Peter, when he suddenly had the realization of being incorporeal, that was presented to us in the Bible as him stepping out of a prison without a key. When incorporeality became a reality to Paul, his name changed from Saul to Paul. There was a temporary moment of blindness while he made the transition from corporeality to incorporeality. To Lazarus, it took the form of stepping into the physical tomb and then stepping out of it in a different form, going in corporeally, coming out incorporeally. So it will be with you. There will be a moment, born of many moments, when the click occurs, a clarity, a transcendental awareness that you are the living Spirit of God, that your concept of body was a sense imitation. That you live and have lived and will live in an infinite body of spirit. Without physical organs. With no loose parts. And you will know that the imitation was a necessary preparation for that transcendental moment when realization takes place. When realization takes place, this world can no longer contain you. You automatically move into a higher dimension. But you must first be seasoned. Spirit never leaves you unprepared. Your training has been going on for hundreds of thousands of human years to prepare you for that great moment of transition, which is inevitable. And if it comes to the surface now, it's because you're getting close. The natural man is corporeal. corporeal man receiveth not the things of God. God cannot pour the qualities of God into an imitation. The imitation always shows forth imperfection. And the reason we have accepted these imperfections is because we were not aware that physical form is an imitation of the real thing. We didn't know that human birth is an imitation, that human life is an imitation. It's actually an initiation. All earth is your initiation, a preparation, a learning period in which you learn to discard that which is not divine. You learn by sorry experience. Whatever is not divine eventually decays, deteriorates, and finally doesn't work. Unfortunately, that's true of our human lives. They can go so far, and then the imitation begins to show its defects. That's the nature of all corporeality. Cease ye from man. Cease ye from corporeality. We begin by accepting an invisible body. You cannot see the incorporeal body of God. You cannot see the incorporeal body of your neighbor. You cannot see your incorporeal body. You cannot see the incorporeal body of an infant coming into this world. And yet the incorporeal body of that infant is infinite. And it is the same body that you are living in, that same infinite body. We have one incorporeal, infinite body that lives now in eternity. And eternity has no beginning in time and no ending in time and is right here. This is eternity. And your incorporeal body lives in this eternity now. And you can start to get an understanding of the scope of your being. Your eternal body is not separated by oceans. It's not separated by centuries. And it's real. It is omnipresent. It is the Alpha and the Omega. Before the beginning and after the end. I and the Father are one. Thou seest me, thou seest the Father. Meaning, as the Father is incorporeal, I am incorporeal. We are one incorporeal self. That is the truth of you. He was saying, you think you're looking at Jesus, a man. No, no. You're looking at the incorporeal Father. And because you're looking at the incorporeal Father, you're also looking at me, because I and the Father are one. Thou seest me, thou seest the incorporeal Father. For I and the Father are the incorporeal one. But I am the way shower. I am the preview of your life. When you can say, thou seest me, thou seest the incorporeal one, your days of dying are behind you. Your days of sickness are behind you. Your days of duality are behind you. The incorporeal body of spirit is ever perfect, without blemish. You can measure whatever happens in your corporeal life against your incorporeal body. By refusing to accept the incorporeal image as you. Thou seest me, thou seest the Father. The incorporeal one. The infinite one. The eternal one. This that is happening in the imitation body is not happening in my perfect eternal body. This is how you face the false sense of life, the false conditions of an imitation life. And you face them in your Christ mind with the inflexible knowledge that I and the Father are one, infinite, incorporeal, perfect body of spirit. No matter what the eye sees, nothing can change the truth. Now there are layers and layers and layers of illusion that are going to deny the truth that you're trying to know. But as you learn truth, some of those layers are dissolved. And as you learn more truth, more of those layers are dissolved. Until there's a little light in the tunnel. Ye are the light of the world. Do not hide your light under a bushel. Lazarus had been hiding his light, but he finally stepped out of the false concept into the true light of his body. he finally did not hide his light under a bushel. There was the first Lazarus hiding the light, and behind him, the real Lazarus. There's the first you hiding the light. And right where that you hides the light is the second you, the real you, the light itself. A change in consciousness brings that light forward. And however you may despair of reaching that level, you may be buoyed up by the knowledge that the Spirit of God teaching you the truth is teaching it because you are capable of assimilating it, responding to it, and stepping out into the light. Spirit does not waste a single motion. The activity of Christ in you is drip, drip, dripping on the stone of your consciousness. And what seems at this moment perhaps too far away, one day, is split open, and the rose pops through the thorns, through the stone. There is a blossom, there is fruit on the branch. The tree of life comes to life in you. The impossible happens. And because to Spirit nothing is impossible, we are born of the Christ. Remember, you didn't start this minute. Every word of Scripture is giving you the courage and the insight to trust your Father. The Christ teaches the fatherhood of God for that reason. You have a perfect source. And a perfect source can only yield a perfect result. Perfection cannot beget imperfection. That is why you must know that God is your Father, and therefore your conception must be immaculate. This is where your hope lies, in the Fatherhood, in the perfection of the Father, in the inevitability of perfection. In the perfection of spirit. In the inevitable triumph. And so you're willing to whittle away each day. Because the light is coming through. Each day, another degree of the illusion is dissolved. There's no opposite to your spirit. There's no opposite to your spiritual incorporeality. The human body may be sick, but it isn't you. The human body may be sick, but you cannot be in a human body and be infinite. a human body cannot contain infinity. A temporary human body cannot contain eternal self. And so your identification, when correct, when accurate, automatically shows you that I, the eternal spirit, cannot live in a temporary human body. There's no way, no place. The Son of Man has no place to lay his head. And I am that Son of Man. You outgrow the illusion. It falls away. The shell is shattered. It served its purpose. The master looks at his mother, but he's teaching you and me. He's teaching mankind. And he says, woman, what have I to do with thee? No corporeal womb gave birth to Christ. How can spirit be born in a corporeal womb? How can mortality give birth to immortality? Identification. Immortal self, spirit, you could not be born in a physical womb. That illusion is shattered. It only occurred in the world of concept when you thought you were a physical being. When you limited yourself down to corporeality, which has a beginning and an end in time, and gave yourself a lifespan, when God had given you an eternity. Paul was very blunt. If ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. He was merely reciting a fact. It was a very simple observation of a truth that everybody realized. If ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. What was his motivation behind that remark? He was training people to make their transition. Christ in him was awakening Christ in them. And Christ in you is not corporeal. Christ in you doesn't live after the flesh, and Christ in you cannot die. Our meditation now is to acknowledge Christ in you as the incorporeal Son of God. I, Christ, am the perfect Son of God. I cannot be sick. Sickness is a denial of my presence as identity. I cannot age, for I and the Father are one. As the Father is incorporeal, eternal, infinite, I, the Son, the perfect image of the Father, am incorporeal, eternal, spirit. Can you be another than that one? Is there another on the face of this earth? Now think of some of the dire catastrophes that happen to your corporeal sense of self. That cannot happen to your reality. Think of the things you have accepted in the past as happening to you, which were your denial of being the Christ of God. Is it possible that you're going to make that mistake again? I seriously doubt that we will make that mistake, certainly not as frequently as in the past. Those days are behind us. I doubt that we will allow the people we know to dwell in those mistakes. Something in us is too alive to permit it. It won't take even much deep thought. It'll be right on the surface, but that's not possible. The omnipresent spirit doesn't have a weak heart. This arthritis is a world mind concept. It isn't happening in the Spirit of God. And as the concepts of the world mind come to you for acceptance, your individual mind is not going to roll over that easily. Because instead of coming to your individual mind, there will be a new addition . There will be something that does not move away and say, take this body and do what you will to it. Take this life and do what you will to it. There will be a new governor. Maybe a fledgling, but it will be there. And it will be the beginning of your Christ consciousness, which says to the world mind, which tries to enter to defile, I recognize who you are. You're the Judas mind, the betrayer, the one who calls God a liar at every turn. You worked in the past through my ignorance of the Father and the truth of the Father, and the truth of my own identity.